from the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio in an earlier recording of his renowned Seafarers.
Seafarers. The captain cried, "We're home at last," as the ship came close to shore. I swore I'd leave the ocean then and ride her waves no more. We drank of the first of a loaded round, of which we'd all be drinking more. The toasting of mugs was the only sound until a drunkard struck the floor. "We made it safe," the captain said, "to sail that savage sea. Now you go home and I'll explain the two that died for me." The first mate staggered outward, then turned to say goodbye. The chef, he headed homeward as he belched his last reply. It was soon that the crew had left him. Before long, they'd all bade farewell.
All the radio you'll ever need is community radio, WCOM, 103.5 FM. Now here's Claudio.
In case you were wondering what just happened there, we had a little faux pas with a player here in the studio at WCOM, so hint, hint to whoever's responsible for keeping these things running. Sorry about cutting Seafarers off. I'll recite that at another time. We're not going to take another chance with that player. I want to open the show with a new element that has been discovered. Lawrence Livermore Laboratories has discovered the heaviest element yet known to science. The new element, governmentium, GV, has one neutron, 25 assistant neutrons, 88 deputy neutrons, and 198 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 312. These 312 particles are held together by forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. Since governmentium has no electrons, it is inert. However, it can be detected because it impedes every reaction with which it comes into contact. A tiny amount of governmentium can cause a reaction that would normally take less than a second to take from 4 days to 4 years to complete. Governmentium has a normal half-life of 2 to 6 years. It does not decay, but instead undergoes a reorganization in which a portion of the assistant neutrons and deputy neutrons exchange places. In fact, governmentium's mass will actually increase over time, since each reorganization will cause more morons to become neutrons, forming isotopes. This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that governmentium is formed whenever morons reach a critical concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as a critical morass. When catalyzed with money, governmentium becomes administratium, an element that resides just as much energy as governmentium, since it has half as many pions but twice as many morons. May God help us to survive this growing mass before it becomes a black hole that sucks us all in. And that's my opening dialogue.
Yes, and this will be continued in Radio and Veto this week on WCOM.
I want to introduce, and I'm going to have the one and only Art Menius of the Carrboro Arts Center.
Hi, Claudio.
On with morning. You just heard him. Man introduced himself. And also the director of things that go on there on stage, artistic director, I assume, Jerry Lynn Schulke.
Hey, good morning, Claudio.
Good morning.
That was hilarious.
Glad to have you folks on. I couldn't pass this up. I came across this thing, and it's the closest I felt to Monty Python in a while. And we had to have something to make up for. Seafarers going off the deep end, so that ship is sunk for the time being. But anyhow, I'd like to bring you on, Art, and I have no idea what direction to take this conversation in. So what I'd like to do is explore your personal background, how you tie in with the Art Center, and even how WCOM came to be connected with you.
Certainly. We can go into any direction when talking
about the wind blows.
The Art Center, because as Jerry Lynn expresses in her beautiful curtain speeches, we do every kind of creativity here at the Art Center, from radio here in our favorite tenant, WCOM, to the theatrical productions and many different genre within theater that Jerry Lynn coordinates, our concert program, classes and everything from ceramics and jewelry making to radio making.
I have to say, as far as some of the performances that you guys have lined up, like Judy Collins and so on, it's world-class stuff.
Indeed it is. And I'm so tickled to be back home here for 9 months now after foolishly wandering away from the triangle of my birth.
Where did you go?
I went to Western North Carolina when I worked for 18 years for Merlefest, which is a large outdoor music festival in Wilkes County, North Carolina, run by a community college. And at one point, the college got a president who decided that all key employees should be regular college employees at a cubicle and attending endless committee meetings.
Oh, God.
So I left my home in North Chatham and moved to Wilkes County and did that for 3 years, and then took the position as director of Apple Shop, which is a now 43-year-old media arts and education center in Whitesburg, Kentucky, in the southeast part of the state, in the central Appalachian coal fields. That includes Roadside Theater, 11 filmmakers, Appalachian Media Institute, which teaches young people how to be filmmakers, WMMT, which is a full-power community radio station on which I still do a three-hour needle drop show once a month. Moving next month to Second Saturdays from his familiar home on First Saturdays.
Right. Take me back to this Roadside Theater. I'm imagining a little troupe on the side of the road performing for passing cars, or what's this?
I think that was not far from the original concept. Roadside Theater was started in 1974 by the brilliant Don Baker, who later moved on to Limekiln Arts in Lexington, Virginia. And I think it's in Richmond now, but its idea was to create plays somewhat in the theater of the oppressed modality, but that all the plays would be in the voices of the people of Central Appalachia, telling the stories as people of Central Appalachia want to present their stories, which is powerfully important in that part of the world, which is like many third world areas, has always had their story told by outsiders. And much of the impetus for Apple Shop came after Chapel Hill's own Charles Kuralt, whose brother ran the Intimate Bookstore downtown for some four decades.
I was envisioning these really aggressive pantomimes stopping traffic on the side of the road. We'll go back to your version.
But Charles Kuralt went to Whitesburg in 1964 and did a famous television documentary called Christmas in Appalachia. And the people of Appalachia did not want outsiders representing them that way. They wanted to tell their own stories. And so Apple Shop started in 1969, and I was there for 3.5 years, did 12 months in Maryland at McDaniel College, and then the opportunity happened to come home to the Triangle and to the Arts Center, which I'd covered for the News and Observer and the Independent for many years back in the 80s and 90s. So it closed a circle. And then Jacques approached me with the idea of the station renting our East End gallery space here. And so that brought community radio, which had been part of my life since I went to Apple Shop, back into the fold as well.
Fantastic. Well, let's take the mic over to Jerry Lynn Schulke. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Not to put you on the spot.
Hey.
So anyway, welcome back to you, Art. Glad you're back in the area. I'm going to pick your brain some more in a minute. Jerry, how about giving us a scoop on things that you're bringing to the stage, not just the shows you're directing, but also some of these amazing talents you're bringing in internationally, really, it looks like.
Well, actually, we do mostly local stuff here at the Art Center. It's important that we have a lot of outside groups that perform here. But really, my idea for Art Center Stage has been how to make the umbrella large enough so that lots of different groups and organizations and patrons can experience art across a broad spectrum. So it's not just theater that people come to the Art Center to experience.
Which is a great idea.
That if they love stand-up comedy, if they love films, if they love improv, that those doors are open here at the Art Center. And we have groups and people in our community who do those performative arts.
Right.
And so offering those as on our stage to people who enjoy those things is, in my opinion, the most important thing. Just providing those opportunities for those groups and for patrons.
How long have you been bringing in the bigger names that I'm seeing out there?
Well, you know, concerts, that is more of a purview for art.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we'll get back to him on that.
Yeah,
never mind.
Exactly. Yeah, so gotcha. I don't have any hand in that.
Mm-hmm.
Art is our main go-to guy with those.
Well, he's on the hook today anyway, so we'll get back to that. So what things are coming up?
So we have a couple of shows. We have a local group that's doing a play called Copenhagen, which is opening this coming weekend. They just did a weekend at Common Ground Theater, and now they're doing it here. And then we have our stand-up show, and we have a film, Darhi, The Lynching of Emmett Till, is happening.
Is that an independent film?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, local filmmaker, local actor, Mike Wiley. And it's gotten a lot of buzz, this movie, and we're showing it here, a screening on Sunday for $5.
Not bad.
Yeah, no. And then we have our stand-up night on the 19th.
As in comedy.
Comedy, yeah, exactly. Local comics. And then we have a play, a guy who has just moved back to the area, Robert Ruskin, who does a one-man show called Further Adventures of an Ex-Hippie. He had many years living in Chatham County and moved away for a while and has moved back to the area and has this one-man show about his adventures as an ex-hippie. So he'll be doing his show on the 25th. So very eclectic.
Great stuff coming up. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Well, let's get a little into your own background.
Originally,
what composes Jerry Lynn Schulke?
Yeah, I'm originally from Iowa. I was a dancer and an actor. Came here to University of Iowa, North Carolina, to study theater, and moved back and forth out of the area, and moved back in about 2006. And started working here almost right away as a teacher at the Art Center. And then, as happens here a lot, you get a small part-time job, and then you move around and you move up. And this position opened up a couple years ago.
Would that be artistic director?
Yeah, exactly, for Art Center Stage, almost 3 years ago. And so I just moved into the position. I'm not a director. I'm an actress by trade. But I found that I really like producing. I can direct. It's not my forte, but I can do it.
Do you have a I would assume you have a passion for it.
I do. Yeah. I found that I have. Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I really enjoy producing. I really like that.
I can appreciate that.
Directing it's okay. I'm good at that, but so yeah, I've kind of fallen into.
Sounds like you really prefer the performance on stage yourself.
You know, I haven't done it for a while, but
yeah. Sounds like
Jerry. We have a person at this station who is from Iowa originally,
no.
Chris Frank.
Chris is from Iowa.
Chris is originally from Iowa,
and of course he's been with
the station since day one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Do you know?
Explains the accordion.
The accordion.
Wow, I'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, you have to find out exactly the town he's from.
Right, right. Wow, I did not know that.
Why don't we go to a little music?
A little music,
sort of relax
Claudio.
For a moment, and then I'll pick on art some more.
Okay. WCOM Community Radio is now streaming online. Go to our homepage at WCOMFM.org. Click on the button that says Listen Live, and you can hear us anytime or anywhere. We're WCOM, Carrboro, Chapel Hill.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? For a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Now there's Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Radio for the news you need and the music you love and Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater right here on WCOM. Now here's Claudio.
And here we are again, not knowing what cliff we're going to fall off in the next few minutes, depending on what works and what doesn't, but we're going to stay afloat in this puddle jumper just as long as we can. Yeah. Art, back to you. Wondering how you're digging up these amazing talents that you're bringing in that pretty much back in their day were legends in the performance venues like Judy Collins and so on.
Yeah, the Art Center has a great tradition of presenting outstanding artists. Just last Friday night, we had Ralph Stanley from the Grand Ole Opry and for a sellout crowd. And the reason we're able to do it, and the program this spring, Tess Mangum O'Connor put together, and she deserves the credit for it. But it's because of our audiences. People make a choice to play here as opposed to larger venues in the Triangle because we have an intimate
intimacy, that's absolutely it, yeah.
Where there is a powerful direct connection between the audience and the artist on stage, where the performer can truly feel the people up close and personal making that connection between art and artist. And that is, as you know, as an artist, such a remarkable
thing. It is. It's everything, really.
It is.
It literally feeds your performance while it's happening.
And so there are some really great artists who will make the choice through their representatives to play here rather than a larger venue where they'd make more money.
Right. I remember a story. I had the pleasure of hosting Judy Collins for the Carolina Theater of Durham. And I think she told this story publicly, but also told me backstage earlier on when I was sitting with her in a dressing room, the green room, so to speak. And told me about how her, Joan Baez, back in the bohemia days of New York City, there was a whole gang of them, names you'd recognize in a minute, but I can't remember right now. But they were performing at this particular bohemian venue in New York that brought about some big names, kind of like the Cat's Cradle over here, I suppose, in that spirit. And she said she remembered this one guy that just sounded rough and awkward, and nobody had the heart to tell him that, you know, they didn't think he had any business in this. And she looks at me, she goes, and I'm embarrassed to say, it was Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most influential people in the lyric and music scene. And I really can't think of anyone that's overtaken him. I mean, the Boss might come close, but I think ultimately the fact that he picked up from Woody Guthrie and sort of used that influence as a poet to the masses is really what shaped him.
He's kept making important art for 50 years, getting on towards 51 years since his first album. And Dylan's still putting out important albums that people talk about. And certainly his release last fall, I think, got more conversation than Springsteen's very powerful Wrecking Ball from earlier in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And the reason I brought him up in the first place, or any of them, Judy Collins and so on, is because the big thing for them was intimate spaces, really having a connection with the audience, whether it's a house that seats 100 or 350 or in that vein. They actually preferred the smaller houses just for the connection. They said in the larger ones, they felt a certain disconnect.
Yeah, 355 seats like our Earl and Rhoda Wynn Theater, the larger of our two venues, is a lovely space. I've worked at 1,150-seat house, and there you start getting to many of the disadvantages of a gigantic venue and without the advantage of a smaller one.
Where it becomes more sort of in a corporate spirit.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a turnoff for those that want a connection.
It's a wonderful here, 355 seats. Everyone who wants an autograph from those artists who sign autographs can get one.
And they're usually open to it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And in fact, Ralph kept signing and selling. I didn't know if the second set Friday night would ever get started. But 85 years old, and it was 3 hours and 15 minutes from when he first started the first set until he finished the second one with the extended intermission in between.
He certainly revamped his image with Oh Brother, We're Out There, huh?
He did, and this was a special show because he had had a five-week break, and he was fresh and happy to be in front of an audience again rather than being tired like he'd be in, well, he did an area performance in October where he was very tired, and you could see he was 85 years old, where he seemed like a young man this Friday.
We had him at the Carolina Theater, I think it was a little more than a year ago.
Art, where is Ralph Stanley originally from?
He's from Dickinson County, Virginia, near Coburn. He grew up on and still lives on Smith Ridge, which is sort of between Coburn and the town where the Ralph Stanley and Museum is, that's name I'm totally spacing on, even though I lived in the area for 3.5 years not too long ago. But so Ralph's from Southwest Virginia, and he was very influential there in the 2008 campaign in mitigating the damage from that part of the state, so that Obama was able to capture those electoral votes in 2008. He went on television with the future president, and that cost him a lot of his core fans in the area. But he took a stand for what he believed in.
Well, you know, a fellow like Ralph Stanley, who's 85 years old, has seen everybody in the business. When you think about that, he could go back and remember artists in the 1920s.
And he's also shaped and influenced many of their performance styles.
He has seen it all.
There's a great story from the folk revival, since we seem to have been on that topic a lot recently, where Ralph and Carter Stanley met Doc Boggs, who was an influential recording artist from the late 1920s, from only about 20 miles away from where they were growing up at that time. And they had no knowledge of him because the travel was so difficult and the communication so primitive at that time. Here was the great artist from their region, and they didn't know about him
at all
until they actually met him at a festival.
One of the performers in the Ralph Stanley Band actually lives in Broadway, not far from where I live.
Indeed, Dewey. Yeah.
And there's a place called BMF Tool and Die just down the road from me that has the half of the space turned into the company turned into a performance venue for bluegrass aficionados. The owner himself plays and sings, and every once in a while Charlie Daniels or somebody from the Charlie Daniels band will just walk in, pick up an instrument, and go to play. So it's
beautiful.
That
That's
kind
a
of a
great
place.
Scene.
And I just found out about this about a year ago, so all of a sudden I've got this little cave I can go play in. I don't play. I just go in and tell stories, but people are always asking, what do you play?
Right there.
My vocal cords.
Well, Claudio, I believe Charlie Daniels is from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah, but he grew up in a house not far from, and I forget the name of the town, because these guys drove me out there, right? And they showed me his old house, which is completely overgrown. Nobody lives there anymore, but Charlie Daniels
grew
up there.
He was brought up by his grandparents in Chatham County.
Right.
And much like Claudio's story about Bob Dylan sounding so rough, the old musicianers around this area will tell stories about laughing at young Charlie Daniels when he made his first forays into the Fiddler's conventions, perhaps before he was ready for such level of competition.
Yeah, right. And now he is the competition.
He had a high-powered show in the mid and late 1970s. I saw that show, and it was pretty good. It was high-powered, and he had everybody. And it was in a big venue. So, and of
course,
funny, he's still around.
I performed Histoire de Soldat as narrator with the North Carolina Symphony when it was done here. And just to sort of get a feel from it, I was advised to listen to the Charlie Daniels piece of the fiddler with the devil and all that, because that was sort of the spirit of the story, Histoire de Soldat by Stravinsky. I got to become completely insane on the Carolina Theater stage. I had to do 5 different voices, which in some cases argued with each other. So it was an interesting moment. But I remember the reflection being, you know, listen to Charlie Daniels just to get a feel for what we're talking about. And then, of course, I read the script and narrated.
Yeah, that sounds similar to Darhi in a way, I believe.
It's interesting how influences cross paths.
Yeah.
Jerry, grab the mic.
Darhi is a story of Emmett Till. Mike Wiley is a local actor, and he is interested in documentary theater, so telling a story in a documentary way of, you know, real people.
Essentially being truthful, yeah.
Right, exactly. So he tells the story of Emmett Till and plays all the characters.
Fantastic.
It's a one-man show that he tours. He's written a lot of these types of plays, But this has been turned into a movie. Rob Underhill, a local filmmaker, and still in the movie, Mike plays all the characters.
So it's a movie of a performance, so to speak,
or does it
go beyond that?
It's a little bit more of a film, just taking the story that Mike wrote and then making it into the film. But he still plays all these characters. So probably 30 characters that he plays in the course of an evening. He's actually doing a school show also here.
I could see that lending itself.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's doing that show, that or a different one. But he's done a lot of these types of plays. He did a play about the Parchment Hour, the Parchment... Prison Farm. So he's done a lot of these types of
things. He must be good with voices, changing voices.
Yeah. He's very good. He's very good with that. Yeah,
demeanor. For that many. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's an amazing actor. So
I'll have to come see that.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lynn brought up something important when she mentioned school shows. The Arts Center does not quite 70, I think 68 last fiscal year, shows in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system, coordinating artists from all over to perform for the students. And then we do 13 school shows here at the Arts Center. Plus, on weekends, we do our super fun family shows, bringing in the top family artists from coast to coast to perform here in Carborough.
How about giving us the website and ways people can find out
good
more?
Thought yeah, there.
Get yourself some exposure here.
Indeed. It's artcenterlive.org is our website, and our phone is 919-929-2787.
And on that note, why don't we relax a little more and try to put Seafarers on again? Can we give that a shot?
Sounds pretty good, Claudio.
We're courageous folks here, and you can listen to The Courage Cocktail on Wednesdays on WCOM.
There we go.
Windsong.
Folks, this is Windsong.
I've lived my life
on
foreign shores.
Button, but you might as well tune into this one.
As a lover of the sea, drinking down my nevermores when they wouldn't set me free. I spent my years saluting winds, which gave my sails direction. And ever was it plain to see my youth in my reflection. Though now I greet my autumn season like a leaf upon the wind, who in having lived by love and reason will bear myself once more to journey. This body, though merely a shell, has truly lived and served me well. These eyes, though rugged by the years, have smiled their smiles and shed their tears. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone. For in the winds a spirit voicing a call to bring me home. I pray the prayer of every sinner and poets much alike, that my spirit clothes me a winner upon that final hour's strike. And as I journey from here to hence, where there is neither gate nor fence, as an older man, I must concede, a wind song now is all I need. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone. For in the wind's a spirit voicing, a call to bring me home.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. WCOM Community Radio is made possible by our underwriters, contributors, and volunteers. Support us. Donations are always welcomed. We're your voice in our community.
And Windsong was actually an excerpt from Seafarers, but it wasn't Seafarers itself, which we may take another occasion to play. But we're bouncing around here. This puddle jumper is having us a little off-key this morning, but we'll get there. Art, I know that you had a gathering of all the saints that work here recently. You had some kind of an underwriter workshop.
Yeah, we had our first underwriter workshop on Saturday, and we have another for the host here at WCOM tonight here at the Art Center at 8.
Oh, at 8 tonight, okay. So that I would assume that the last one went fruitfully.
It did until we got to looking at the vast list of businesses here in Carrboro that are not currently underwriters of the station. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
You can go to wcomfm.org and become an underwriter almost instantaneously and support this wonderful community institution. But then we did digress into discussing the 75 or so businesses that are not yet underwriters, and then the time came and went.
Speaking of that, I better announce my underwriter, which is the Apex Arts Council of Apex, North Carolina. Just want to give a shout out there. They've got all kinds of events coming up, and you can find them on apexartscouncil.com. So check them out.
Very good.
And I'm certainly open to more underwriters. I realize that at some point, living 50 miles away, I'm not knocking on doors locally. My underwriters tend to come from other towns, but I wouldn't mind knocking on some local doors, so I may need to explore that matter as well.
Yeah, or else get some of us who are here local in Carver to go knock on doors for you.
That's not a bad idea. I like that idea even better. Yeah. I'm really more the artist than the salesman. I've always said that, and I know even to myself it sometimes sounds like an excuse, but I'm really misplaced on the salesmanship, mm-hmm. with exception to selling the art.
Yeah, it's so much easier to sell someone else or someone else's art than it is your own.
Very much so.
Besides, you have the imprimatur. Even if you're being paid a commission to sell it, it's still somebody else bragging about the art rather than the artist.
But you know, the funny thing is, in the competitive world of being a chef, which was my early career, I apprenticed in Germany, I was the very opposite. I had absolutely no problem selling myself almost arrogantly as the guy that can do this for you and probably do it better than anybody else you've got. And I've got a sense of humor about it. I'm a nice guy to work with. I had no problem selling that aspect. But as far as selling myself as an artist, which is really my true love, I'm gun shy.
Well, of course, culinary is art as well, and we, in fact, offer courses in the culinary art to the
you
Art
do
Center
that?
As well.
You have cooking classes here?
Indeed.
Interesting. Who teaches?
I have absolutely no idea, Claudia.
I thought it was Jerry Lynn, maybe, cooking up a roast.
Though you could talk to Fiedra Kelly, our art school director,
okay, so
if you're interested in joining that cohort.
So where do they?
Most of the cooking classes take place at the Century Center, which is our town of Carver.
I got you. Yeah, I performed
there. Facility about two blocks down the street.
That's a good little facility. I didn't realize you did that because I sort of teach an ongoing course called Cultivating the Culinary Instinct, teaching common sense with food instead of recipe intelligence. And I've been doing that for years. And every once in a while, and I don't really do anything to promote it, but every once in a while, three or four people will get together and go, hey, you mind teaching that class again? And I'll get off my butt and teach again, yeah.
Wonderful. At my other community radio station, WMMT, we actually have a cooking show on the radio once a month on Wednesday evenings where three chefs come into the studio. There's a full-service kitchen about 30 feet away from what's normally the production studio.
Oh, perfect.
But close enough that we could bring the lines in from the production studio.
And you can get good camera angle, or you don't.
Everything.
It's radio, right?
It's radio. So we're able to bring the studio into the kitchen, and they talk as they cook.
You get to hear the sizzle and the pop.
Exactly. And then the listeners get to listen to the folks enjoy the food at the end of the show.
Make a few expressive burps at the end.
Indeed.
It's Italian cuisine. So, Jerry Lynn, do you want to give us any kind of a rundown? Why don't you give us a rundown of shows you've got coming up, as well as any contact information?
Sure. You know, we are just now accepting plays for our 10x10 festival, which is our annual 10-minute play festival. Yesterday, I just started getting submissions. We have a month-long window of submissions being accepted. So they just started yesterday, going till the beginning of February. Plays come from all over.
I've actually been here to see some of those.
No,
yes,
really?
I have in the
past.
That's
awesome. So they come from all over the United States and the world. You know, nowadays it's so easy to send out notifications to playwrights.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, across the world. So yesterday we got probably our first 50 submissions. So last year we got almost 500. The year before, roughly the same. So every year it's a little bit more.
Now, are you saying that these submissions come from all over the world?
Yeah, they come from all
over. So some
of
these folks want to travel here to come and perform?
No, these are all playwrights.
Oh, I see, I see. So somebody else performs their work.
Right, so we all have local actors in the plays. But the plays come from all over. Last year, we actually had our first international play selected for one of the 10 finalists. So a young woman from India's play. I forget her name, but her play was accepted as one of the final 10.
And they're usually 10 minutes long, right?
They're all 10 minutes long. Yep.
Yeah.
This is our 12th year upcoming this July. So this is I was just talking to a playwright this morning, a local playwright, and he was saying, you know, the word out in the playwriting community worldwide is that our festival is one of the best 10-minute play festivals anywhere.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
And, yeah, I know. And I really can't take credit. You know, Lyndon Harris was the one who began 10x10 and had the idea for 10x10 and over the years kind of perfected how we do 10x10.
I love short works myself.
I know.
So that's the reason I've come to check out a few of them.
Yeah. It's amazing. We have 10 actors and they perform in all the 10 plays. It's a really great evening of theater. And some people come to the Art Center only once a year to see 10x10.
And from what I could tell, it's any genre as well, right?
Yeah. So those are currently starting to be accepted, and we have readers. We have a group of about...
Where do they send these?
They send it to me at Arts Center Live, and my email address is artcenterstage@artcenterlive.org. If you're a playwright out there, a budding playwright, 10 minutes, that's really all the requirements. No monologues. We will accept plays that are musicals if they have little or no accompaniment. Pretty much it's wide open. There's no...
So musicals more the a cappella range.
right, exactly. So, and also just Art Center Stage, we produce annually 4 plays. This year we did, of course, our 10x10. And then in the fall we did 44 plays for 44 presidents right before election time. And...
That's interesting. What was that?
So that was a play that was created by the Neo-Futurists, which are out of Chicago. And they did 44 very, very short plays about every president from Washington through Obama. Hmm. And some of the plays were literally like a page long.
Like little sketches of
Yeah, exactly.
Was it done sort of in the abstract or...
It's for those for whom 10x10 are just too long.
I got you.
That's right. Yeah, they were kind of sketches, kind of like, but not all of them were funny. Some of them were very moving and very profound.
Interesting.
So it kind of was a broad spectrum of the takes on the lives of each of the presidents. So that was right before election time, which was great, very timely.
Good timing, eh?
Yeah. And then we had our holiday production of we did this play called All Is Calm, which was about the Christmas truce that happened between German and English soldiers during World War One. And that was a beautiful production that we did with the men from Qatari, which is a local vocal ensemble. And then we are in
I like
the
that
spring.
Local vocal. There's something in there.
In the spring, we're doing a play about Walt Whitman, which is near and dear to my heart. It was written by a friend of mine back in the late 80s. He is a playwright who fell off, I think, the playwriting world, but wrote this very beautiful play about Walt Whitman. It's an ensemble piece of 12 actors and accompanies music and poetry, obviously.
And it's the entire life spectrum from what I can. I've yet to read the whole script, right. But I know it's The Boy Into Manhood.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's three Walts. There's the young Walt, the middle-aged Walt, and there's an older Walt, and they all interact. It's historical. It's very epic in scope. So I'm looking forward to that.
Think Walt Whitman, think Leaves of Grass.
That's right. Exactly. And there's a whole section of recitation of that play, of that poem.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah,
good.
It's beautiful. So I'm looking forward to that. That's in the spring.
No doubt.
May.
Well, give us the rundown and the contact one more time.
Oh, yeah. So artcenterlive.org. You can find out all this information and more.
And Art, you may take the microphone. We're passing one mic around here.
Yes, indeed. Back to me.
Give us a rundown of some of the celebrities you're bringing to the stage, if you can remember them all or some.
Well, we have coming up this weekend on Friday the remarkable blues guitarist Rory Block, who's played Chapel Hill and Carrboro many times.
Yeah.
She's the current phase of her career is paying tribute to the great blues artist, actually all blues men so far, that influenced her as she developed as an artist once again in the Greenwich Village folk scene of the 1960s.
Yes, you have a knack for that area.
Her parents ran a sandal shop or something
like that
in the village.
Well, that fit right into the decade, didn't it?
Yeah. So
the hippie era with sandals.
So she grew up as a teenager with access to all the blues men who had been, rediscovered, unquote, by the folk revival. They actually knew where they were the entire time after their recording careers in the 20s and 30s came to an end. But
kind of throws in the question, you know, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah. So we got Rory Block on Friday evening. And then on Saturday, and we'll be broadcasting this on the Carrboro Live show at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, the wonderful Lucy Kaplansky, who is a dear old friend that I haven't seen in 12, 15 years, something like that. Lucy was part of...
So this is a motive. Bring in the old friends. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Lucy was part of the next generation New York scene, so-called fast folk scene of the 1980s that produced Suzanne Vega, who's coming on February 28th. And doing a class in songwriting here at the Arts Center.
Oh, really?
On February 28th. Suzanne Vega, Sean Colvin, my late dear friend Jack Hardy. Lucy came up in that scene in the early 80s, but was pursuing a PhD in clinical psychology at the same time.
My goodness.
And she received her doctorate in 87 and went into clinical practice as a psychologist. And people like Suzanne Vega and Sean would drag her down to recording sessions to sing harmony for her. And he'd say, Lucy, why aren't you making music instead of doing this psychology?
So Honey comes in on my couch, yeah.
Yeah, so finally in 1994, Sean Colvin, a brief member of the Red Clay Ramblers.
Ah,
actually, technically, great. I think Chris replaced Sean Colvin in the Red Clay Ramblers. convinced Lucy to record an album for Red House Records. Her debut was so well received, within 6 months of making the recording, she had resigned from her two positions as a clinical psychologist and has been a full-time performer the 18
fantastic.
And a half years since. So she'll be here Saturday night. You can hear her on WCOM. Later on, we have... The Cat's Cradle's producing several shows here, as they have been for many years. What I'm particularly looking forward to is Chris Stamey from the DBs, and his old partner, Peter Holtzapfel, will be opening here for Carla Bonoff on March 2nd, another extraordinary songwriter, this one from L.A. rather than from Manhattan. We have Judy Collins, as previously noted, coming in March. Roger McGuinn from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as leader of the Byrds, coming on May 3rd. On May 4th, we flip generations and bring in the Straybirds, who are the best young, old-time-based band with three powerful songwriters in the band.
Fantastic.
I think they are the future of American roots music, if we want to hang that burden on them. April 4th, we have a show unlike any other at the Arts Center. David Amron, a musician, theatrical composer. He did the score for the movie Splendor in the Grass and Manchurian Candidate,
that goes back.
Among others. He personal friend of Jack Kerouac, which is actually what's bringing him to Chapel Hill for a symposium about Kerouac. And he'll be performing here on April 4th. Claire Lynch,
amazing
May 24th, probably the best vocalist in bluegrass music, certainly my favorite bluegrass female vocalist. John Cowan, the lead singer from Newgrass Revival, and more recently with the Doobie Brothers, will be here on February 22nd. And that's only a scattering of the shows. For everything that's going on, our classes in the art school, we have 587 classes this year taught by nearly 100 people. Arts Camp registration for this summer will be open very shortly. We have our after-school arts immersion program each day during the school year. And all this is exposed at artcenterlive.org. And yes, we
knows how to wrap it up.
We do have navigation issues with our website because we got to put all of that in.
We have navigation
website.
Issues right here. Come on. WCOM is just afloat, barely. Anyway, so Jerry Lynn, any final say? We've got to wrap up the hour here.
Sure. I would just say, if you've never been to the Art Center, like Art has said, and my favorite thing to do in my curtain speeches sometimes is to say, in a snapshot, in my ideal world, we would have a video that would be like a one-minute video that would be 24 hours at the life of the Art Center. And it would start with a school show where hundreds of kids are bused here to see a show. It would jump to our after-school program where we have kids doing after-school arts. It would jump to a concert in the theater. And that's, you know, the same day. And then a stand-up going on in the smaller venue, classes going on in our auxiliary classrooms, all in 24 hours.
Amazing.
There's
good
art.
Lord.
You can experience art in all its ways. From education to watching art, it all happens at the Art Center.
Well, I want to make both you and Art an offer. One of the reasons I stayed on, because I was actually thinking about giving up my show before the shift, but I liked the idea of being connected to the Art Center. So if there are any shows or any people coming up that you think would enjoy being a part of my show or you'd like to be a part of my show, that door's open. You're part of the family now since you've been on. So, and, of course, Art, I needn't say anything about this guy. He knows how to start it and how to wrap it up. So. All's well that ends well.
Well, thank you, Claudio.
Thank you both so much for being on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. And like I said, at this point, you're part of the family.
Thanks so much, Claudio and Rocco. What a wonderful hour each and every Tuesday at 9 a.m. here on WCOM.
Actually, 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Don't get them to switch off by the time I come on.
Oh, we want them to listen all day long.
That's
each
right,
and every day.
And thank you, folks, for putting up with us. Until next time, cheers.